thank you very much for the very kind introduction and for the invitation to be here today. I'm absolutely delighted to be here because I've worked in interdisciplinary contexts for well over 20 years. And so everything that I talk about for the next 10 or 12 minutes is going to be based on the experiences that I've gained from working with a whole raft of absolutely brilliant people from a whole range of different disciplines. What I'm going to do is talk briefly about what interdisciplinarity means to me. I'm not going to dwell on definitions, but I'm just going to say a little bit about how I think about it. I'm then going to talk about interdisciplinarity in practice and some of the projects that I've been deeply involved in delivering and also supporting. And I'm going to also talk a little bit about some of the challenges in doing interdisciplinarity and in supporting work that tries to be interdisciplinary in its nature. I'm very relaxed about definitions. I know that many people get quite concerned when they are trying to define whether their work is interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary, or transdisciplinary. And I always suggest to people, don't worry, just do what's best. I also think it's incredibly important that when we talk about terminology for the kind of integration that we would try to achieve through bringing disciplines together, we don't place them on a hierarchy of value or virtue. There's nothing intrinsically better about transdisciplinarity compared with interdisciplinarity, and there's nothing intrinsically better about interdisciplinarity when compared with multidisciplinarity. To me, that's very, very important as a starting point. Interdisciplinary ways of working and doing research, including in a university context where I come from, has been around for a very long time indeed. And I think it's important to also start by thinking about what disciplines are and what they offer to us and how they work. I tend to think of disciplines as shaped by historical, social, and economic forces, but I would because I've got a background in anthropology. Disciplines shape the way that we think about the things we study. They shape how we seek to know the things that we study, and they also shape the ways in which we do study the things that we wish to study. Disciplines have fuzzy boundaries or firm boundaries. Disciplines develop over time. But very importantly, researchers often identify themselves through their discipline. So people might say, I am a sociologist, I am an economist, I am a statistician. Okay. I'm none of those things. But people feel very closely associated with their disciplines, and it becomes part of who they are and their identity as a person. So people who span disciplines and work in between disciplines need to feel equally valued and equally able to benefit from the work that they do to bring disciplines together and to work in an interdisciplinary way. And I think that's very, very important when we're thinking about career progression of people who work across disciplines. So I think that to boost researchers' confidence and sense of value in the work that they do, it's really useful to think about what interdisciplinarity is good for, what it does, what benefit it provides. There are many reasons, I think, to do interdisciplinary work. We can use interdisciplinarity, as Ottilien's already said, to address challenges. And a lot of the work that I do has been challenge-led in nature. We can also use interdisciplinarity to address questions that, frankly, couldn't be answered fully otherwise if we didn't use an interdisciplinary approach. But there's also real benefit to individuals and their careers and their ways of working through working across disciplines. And I think it's very important that we consider that as part of the benefit of doing work that crosses disciplines and brings them together. There's also, I think, a third benefit to interdisciplinarity. There's many others as well, but there's a third one I want to highlight today, and that's in relation to the research system and the way in which we do research more generally. So when we work across disciplines and we have conversations with each other, we can move things forwards in relation to how we do research, how we share data, how we make our information open to members of the public, and how we ensure that people are providing their full informed consent to take part in research. So all of those things can be improved and enhanced by working together across disciplines. But I want to bring all of that to life, and I want to do that by talking about some research that I've been quite deeply involved in. And the first thing I want to talk about is a project that I led that was focused on pain. And this was a project that was called the STAR Programme. It was funded by the National Institute for Health Research, and it's just recently completed its work. The work focused on long-term pain after knee replacement, and that might sound a bit niche, but actually it's an enormous problem because around 100,000 operations each year happen in the UK to replace someone's knee. But about 15 to 20% of people who have that kind of operation have long-term pain afterwards. You can imagine that's enormously disappointing for them. The reason they've had the surgery in the first place is to relieve their pain, and they find they have pain afterwards. So we convened a team. The team comprised experts from a number of disciplines. I shan't name them here because I'll probably leave some of the disciplines out by accident. But what we did was address the challenge of long-term pain after knee replacement by designing a multifaceted programme of work that included work to develop a care pathway for use in healthcare, work to understand why some people with pain didn't put themselves forward for treatment, and work to understand how and when people recovered or didn't recover after their surgery. I asked the team what they felt helped to deliver the programme as a whole. First of all, they said they were really pleased that the programme was going to make a difference to people. They felt that the purpose had been met. We developed a care pathway which is now being rolled out in some colleagues' NHS hospitals, and we're going to look at the implementation and see how that goes. So there's a real sense that the common goal of doing something that would help people with pain had been met. That was very important. The second thing that people told me really mattered to them working in the context of the programme was working together with enough time to enable them to have the conversations that, in which they could listen to one another. So we held workshops, we held meetings, we created safe, encouraging space for people to ask questions of one another. But that sounds very, very soft and very broad, but what we did in those workshops is we gave people specific tasks to work on, and people were fantastic at bringing their own tasks to the workshops and deciding what should be done and what should be improved in conversation with each other. The other thing that people said when I asked them what worked in this programme of work was that they said what really worked was the absence of big egos. I quote. I read that in a number of ways. I read that in terms of respect. I'm very aware that there was a great degree of respect between members of the team and the different disciplinary perspectives that they brought. I also read that as kind of a behaviour rather than a trait. And people really enacted the respect for each other and the expertise that they brought, and were very able to say when they didn't know something, just as much as when they did know something. And that created a culture of openness in the way in which everybody worked together. Overall, we also, I think, all grew together as a team. We learnt about some of the progressive things that have been happening in research over the last 6 to 8 years, and they include attention to data sharing and attention to pre-submission of protocols for research. So disciplines are in very different spaces in relation to those things, but we're on a really great forward trajectory in research in relation to how we think about them and we think about the value of making our data available. So by the end of the programme, we'd positioned ourselves in a place where we had appropriate consent in place from participants, and we had a lot of participants in the research, and we were able to make the information publicly available, and we will be doing that shortly, with appropriate attention to the necessary checks and balances. Okay, so as a team, we've moved forward and really thought about how we do the research. That's just one brief example. I'd like to move on now and talk about some of the work I've done to support the research of other folks, and that support that I've provided through my role at the Elizabeth Blackwell Institute at Bristol. The Elizabeth Blackwell Institute is supported with funding from the Wellcome Trust through their Institutional Strategic Support Funding Scheme, and we receive that with gratitude, and we work very hard to curate that very carefully. We run initiatives from the Institute which explicitly seek to support interdisciplinary research development. And they include focus on mental health, climate change and health, global public health, to name but a few. Again, always risky to do a list because I've missed lots out. The mechanisms that we use for doing this support are kind of multifaceted, but one of the key things that we think works is using the existing structures within the university to bring people together. So we ask colleagues in the universities to submit proposals to us that cross faculties, that comprise people from at least two of our six faculties and ideally more. And our faculties at the University of Bristol already do interdisciplinary research within them, but this just adds an additional mechanism to bring people and disciplines together. One of the projects that I thought I'd mention today that we supported through this initiative was a piece of work that was funded by UKRI eventually once we'd put our support in internally, and it was led by Professor Ian Craddock. This was a project that was funded within the Engineering and Physical Sciences Research Council, and it was a piece of work to develop passive monitoring technology to put into people's homes, and the monitoring technology was to focus on health behaviours. Speaking from my own experience of that collaboration, what I saw were really clear benefits to working across disciplines. Again, many disciplines were involved. It was largely an engineering project, as you can hear from what I've said about it, but also involved were experts in public engagement, bioethicists, social scientists, to name a few. The system was developed brilliantly, and it was deployed into hundreds of people's homes across our region. I don't think that work could have been done if it wasn't for the fact that we had various disciplines feeding in. So this project was an example of a project in which we had an engineering project that needed the feed-in from the ethicists to talk with us about privacy, had feed-in from the public engagement experts to talk with us about how to ensure the system was appropriate and acceptable. And that worked. There was also some real learning across the whole programme in terms of how we addressed ethics and consent and dealt with the governance processes that we needed to work on. So I hope that's given you a sense of how I've done interdisciplinarity and the benefit that I think it's brought to the research that we do. I find it exhilarating and rewarding to work in this way, but there are, of course, quite a few challenges along the way. Everyone who talks about interdisciplinarity always talks about the time it takes and the energy needed to deliver it well. And I think that's very important. And I think we can think of that in a variety of ways. My colleagues talk to me about workshops and needing time and needing very specific tasks to do. But people are busy. So I asked people what would help. And people said to me, actually, what would really help at the beginning of all projects is an infographic showing who does what and what they can benefit from. So I think I'll take that away for the future. There's also a challenge of deciding when not to foster interdisciplinarity and when it's not appropriate. And in our institute, we supported a lot of research in March 2020 focused on the COVID response and research to address the pandemic that started at that time. The research that we supported wasn't explicitly interdisciplinary, but we worked very quickly to get research off the ground quickly, and some of it then naturally became interdisciplinary in order to address the challenge-led questions that they were looking at. I'll finish by saying that the comment from a colleague about the absence of big egos is really important because it's a signal about the importance of openness, the value of diverse disciplines, and enabling a sense of equal contribution in research. This can be put into action in a number of ways, including authorship, governance processes, and lots of open discussions about what we do. I think it's really important that people who work in an interdisciplinary way are valued for that skill in itself. And I think we need to think about time, respect, the benefits of interdisciplinarity, and to embrace everything it has to offer. So thank you very much indeed, and I'm also looking forward to the discussion.